ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, 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 ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know what that means, we are so far behind, we are Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. That's it. And we kill brain cells. We are responsible, so by you continuing to listen to this program this early on Saturday morning, you are responsible for your own lack thereof. We contribute to it, but it's by your own volition that you do it such. Big Dog, how are ya?
I'm here. How's it going?
Oh, did you just get home from work?
No.
Oh, you sound bad. You sound worse than
I
do.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a relapse.
Oh, now you admit what you gave to me last week and why my voice is where it is. I don't know if I can even go the 2 hours, Big Dog.
Oh, no, I don't admit giving this to you at all. I was sick. I've never denied being sick.
Yeah, I wasn't sick till you showed up.
Yeah.
And don't you ever call me a hypochondriac on air again.
Hypochondriac.
Okay. Hey, so how you doing, Big Dog? I mean, I understand you're not feeling well, dude. I've been struggling with it all week. But you showed up this morning. Thank you very so much. We're both under the weather, and you guys can take that however you so see fit. But I do want to welcome Coffee in the chat room. And, yes, it looks like there may be. We shall see what's going to be on. We have so much to talk about today. Oh, my goodness. There is a lot of big news today alone, and we will be able to get to that. But, Big Dog, before we even get going, I want to take a moment and acknowledge where we are and where we've come from. Yes, it is very important because today is Saturday, and on this day in sports history, we're going to take December 29th, in 1934, the first regular season college basketball game was played at Madison Square Garden in New York City. New York University defeated Notre Dame 25-18. In 1937, Babe Ruth returned to baseball as the new manager of the Class D D-Lind Reds of the Florida State League. Ruth, as we all know, had retired from baseball in 1935. In 1961, Wilt Chamberlain of the Philadelphia Warriors scored 60 points against the... Do you know who that was, Big Dog?
No, I know they played Hershey, Pennsylvania, though. I forgot who he scored it against.
The Knicks? Los Angeles Lakers.
Really?
You are questioning me?
Okay.
In 1965, CBS acquired the rights to the NFL regular season games in 66 and 67 with an option for 68 for $18.8 million, which is roughly about what each game cost them now. And in 1984, Wayne Gretzky of the Edmonton Oilers scored his 100th point in the 35th game of the season. Wow. Incredible, huh, Big Dog?
Yes, very much so.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. OnThisDay.com, thank you very so much for your illustrious history. Whether it's right or wrong, I really don't give a damn. But the point is, it is what it is. And, Big Dog, yes.
You were saying on this day, this is the day that he scored it, or you're just saying that this happened at this time, or what?
This happened on December 20, whatever today is. December 29th.
Okay. You're going to have to check your whoever's giving you your facts because they're full of it. Because on March 2nd, 1962, he scored 100 points against the New York Knicks. That's why I thought it was the Knicks.
I said 60 points, not 100.
Oh, 60. Okay, never mind. I thought you said 100. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, me. I get that a lot. Thank you, Coffee. Thank you. The 100 points was in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Coffee. Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, Matt Alvarez. Wow, he's up early. Way to go, dude. Glad you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of news. Coffee did allude to it right now, Big Dog. I'm not sure if you want to go to it right now. I mean, there is an incredible amount of news, but I do want to go to what is going on in the NHL. Have you heard about the news lately?
I knew there was the owners gave an offer to the Players Association, and I know it's pretty much supposedly the best offer that they're going to be offering for now. So we'll see how it goes. Supposed to be a good comprehensive offer.
Yes, apparently this offer was enough for them to actually continue to meet again. I should say maybe not continue, but to meet again.
Yeah. Yeah, they're really not saying too much about the details, but they were scheduled to have a 3 p.m. Eastern Time conference call yesterday to discuss the offer and determine the next step, it says, from multiple sources. Since several players were yet not aware of the proposal that was reported on Friday morning. According to details, of course, anonymously given, it says term limits on player contracts moves to 6 years from 5 years. Year-to-year salary moves from 5% to 10%. Each team will be allowed one compliance buyout before the 2013-2014 season that will not count against salary cap, but will count against the player's shares. It says a medical provision stays at $300 million. And it's supposed to be a 10-year deal.
That is correct. And apparently there's also talk that either Bettman or Beer won't survive, depending on how well this contract language ends up being. And I don't know. We'll see. Coffee says, if I'm the players, I say no unless they cut the deal to 5 or 6 years, but at least a legit offer unless the other owner offers. And it's not good enough to play under it for 8 years. So there was a quick little correction. The quote, Coffee's better than that. I misread it, and it's all good. But you understand, hockey player, man, come on. You know,
yeah.
if you listen closely, it's in my voice, it sounds like I have a broken nose, so I'm in hockey mode.
Woo-hoo.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, baby. And so here's what they're trying to hit. Apparently, as we all know, the talks broke down on December 13th. They had a federal mediator there, but look, quote unquote, we delivered to the union a new comprehensive proposal for a successor CBA. Maybe that could have been the word of the day, CBA. Daly said in a statement Friday, we are not prepared to discuss the details of our proposal at this time. We are hopeful that once the union staff and negotiating committee have had an opportunity to thoroughly review and consider our new proposal, they will share it with the players. We want to be back on the ice as soon as possible. The league would like to have a deal in place by January 11th, beginning training camps the following day, and start the regular season by January 19th. And, of course, as we all know, it's 104 days into the lockout. But, as reported last week, right, Big Dog, by you, the players did vote to dissolve. Do you have any update on that?
No, I do not.
Would you remind me what you mentioned last week, please?
The players had voted to dissolve the union, and I guess they could then proceed with the in federal court to sue the owner so they can get back to playing.
You are the man, Big Dog. You are the man. All right. Well, that is some of our breaking news. We actually have some more news that's going to be in the NFL. We're going to be talking basketball. We did mention the NHL owners, and we have some baseball news to go over as well. So, Big Dog, where do you wish to take us next? And we'll do it that way. We will do a jagged response, or maybe not necessarily jagged, but you go and I will go. How is that, Big Dog?
Sure, that's fine. Actually, I just wanted to comment on what Coffee put in the chat room. That he says it needs to be dropped to 5 years. Otherwise, it's not good enough. That may be so, but the only problem is that the owners aren't going to go for something that short because they do not want to go through this again in 5 years. They said, he also put in there that it's a 10-year offer, but you can opt out after 8 years. I believe the owners aren't going to go for anything shorter than maybe 8 years because of that, because they just do not want to go through with this, because the NHL does have a habit of actually going through with their strikes. This is this is the second time they've lost significant time in the last, like, 10, 12 years. So the owners do not want to go through this again in just 5 years if they were to knock this down to a 5-year deal. And once again, everything is always about money. So in 5 years, mm-hmm. you're looking for them to probably increased their revenue. So it's going to be about money again whenever the contract is up, whether it be 5 years or 10 years. So, and as he said, you know, this is the third lockout under Bettman. So strike, lockout, either way, Coffee, they're not playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what you mean by responding is that he stated not a strike, it's a lockout, and it's a third under Bettman. Yeah, it is a third, but there's hope. There is hope, as even Matt Alvarez says. We need hockey, damn it! There's no doubt about it, ladies and gentlemen. We do need that sport. We are sports fans. There is a lot of good in hockey. I got to tell you, when it comes to a man sport next to rugby, I don't know, huh, big dog? Hockey's pretty rough.
That's right. Yeah, Dale. I like what I guess the labor man can probably agree with this, that Tavi says that the owners just don't play fair.
Well, let me see. Let me get stuck up here for a moment. Okay, I got to get involved. Well, it's obvious that the owners, management, always have control. So, yes, they don't play fair because they are holding the cards. In every sort of agreement, in every sort of CBA negotiation, yes, the ones with the money never play fair. All right, I'm back.
Very good, labor man. /
Indeed. Oh, damn, he came back. Indeed, yes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I do have issues with speaking that way, but I'll let it go. Considering the voice, I'm having trouble with it, big dog. Hey, life is good. Well, that's what we have in NHL, because there is no free agent signings. There are no injured reserve lists. There are no nothing. And we do want to welcome all of our guests in the chat room this early morning. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, I want to give a shout-out to Brian, who is also listening. Thanks, Brian. And it's all good in the hood, so we say. So I guess he's not ballsy enough to actually call in and listen. He's listening through his phone.
Oh.
But that's all right, Brian. We thank you. Where do you wish to take us now, big dog?
We could do baseball since there's not a lot there.
Well, as a matter of fact, before we go there, I actually want to go and take care of some basketball news. May not be the most biggest thing, but apparently Dwayne Wade and the Heat disagree with the one-day suspension on the contact with Bobcats guard Ramon Sessions. I don't know if you've seen it. He's been given a one-day suspension. And they publicly agreed with it, or disagreed, and that's pretty big. While we accept the decision of the NBA regarding Dwayne Wade, we do not agree with it, the team said. In his 10 years in the league, Dwayne has never been suspended and has been an exemplary player and positive influence to his teammates and fans, and we've been honored to have him as part of the Miami Heat family. Unfortunately, he's the type of player, along with other players on our roster, that defenses take privileges with. We stand with Dwayne and support him in this situation and have made our feelings known to the league office. Will they be fined, big dog?
Yes, they will be fined. I'm pretty sure that the team will be fined a significant amount of money for saying or inferring that the league and the referees have it out against the Heat, that they're allowed to be manhandled more so than any other team. So I'm pretty sure there's going to be a fight for that. Dwayne Wade, yes, he may have been, or has been actually, one of the men in the forefront of the NBA as far as, you know, the face of the NBA. Never had a problem with him, never a bad guy. The problem was, though, is Ramon Sessions, and it's been known that Ramon Sessions is a guy that likes to get under your skin. That's his type of game. And he was pretty much playing, I guess you could say, 80s-style defense, where he was just up in Dwayne Wade, kind of Michael Cooper style, if anybody back in the day remembers Michael Cooper and the tight defense that was allowed back then. That's the way you played defense back then. Ramon Sessions was playing that. Dwayne Wade wasn't getting the calls, and let me explain it to people that aren't basketball savvy. A lot of the elite players expect certain calls because they are elite players, and they're, as you can say, I guess you could quote-unquote say, taken care of by the referees in the league so that they don't get hurt. Well, he wasn't getting the calls that day, and he got frustrated. Now, you look at the video. He did mean to kick him. That was an intentional kick. It was intentional. It wasn't intentional for him to kick him in the groin, but I think he was just trying to kick him kind of like get away from me type of thing, so he would get a call. Unfortunately, he kicked him in the groin. Now, Ramon Sessions, on the other hand, acted it out big time. Because anybody that knows, anybody that's played any professional sport or any kind of sport whatsoever, you get hit in the groin, you go down, and you stay down for a bit. Ramon Sessions, of course, got hit in the groin, rolled around the floor, and then popped up and went right at Dwayne Wade. Anybody that's been hit in the groin knows you don't just jump right back up, no matter what your adrenaline wants to do. You just don't get up. So there was acting, a lot of acting on Ramon Sessions' part also, but it was, I don't know if the suspension, I mean, you don't kick. I mean, you don't kick anybody. Just like in the NFL, if you're intentionally kicking someone, you're going to get suspended. It was only a one-game suspension. It's already been served. It was served yesterday by Dwayne Wade against the Detroit Pistons, which he did lose that game 109-99. But the incident did happen. It was 8:12 left in the fourth quarter. You can probably YouTube it and see it. I thought it was intentional. A lot of people, the supposed, you know, professionals, all felt the same way. Scorekeeper, did you see the video, and if you did, or the incident, and if you did, do you feel it was intentional?
Yes, 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 and they're idiots, and yes.
Yeah.
The idiots don't believe it was intentional, and of course, Miami fans are up in arms. And here's a tiny bit of trivia, ladies and gentlemen. In the hit, Ramon Sessions was called for a reach and foul. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a reach and foul.
I don't know what he was reaching in with on there for it to be a foul.
Yeah, but as I say, it was determined later by the league that it was so, because it was Ramon that was called for the foul. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. We ask you to forgive us. Both the big dog and I are not feeling well, and we're going to try to control all the coughing. I'm going to reach into my super secret stash of cough drops, which I'm down to like 4, which is not good. Should I have the cough drop or the CVS? I mean the Rite Aid cough drop.
Man, they're all the same. I'll get a cough drop of my own right now. I'm going to have a Luton's cough drop.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so we are legally on drugs right now.
All right. In other NBA news,
Big Dog, if I may interrupt you, the reason why I wanted to go to that one right now is because I'm now introducing the word of the day, but sports word of the day. And I think it's very, very appropriate that this is the word. And I'm gonna see if I can try to stump the big dog and everyone in the chat room. So you guys, if you're in the chat room and if you're listening, that means you too, Brian. You guys have to play along. So the word of the day is a martial arts word, and specifically karate. And the word is Zuzuki. Zuzuki. Spelled Z-U and then a space. Z-U-K-I. So there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone in the chat room, what does that mean? And we're going to give them a moment while they try that. Big dog, what is Zuzuki?
That's Hideko's last name, and he's retiring from baseball.
That's quite close, which we will get to that almost immediately. Close, but as they say, no cajones.
Oh, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Dwayne Wade, Zuzuki means, in karate, a headbutt.
Very funny.
Yes, well, hey, however you want to take it, right, ladies and gentlemen? So there it is. Thank you very much, and thank you for playing, ladies and gentlemen. Now, heading on over to Major League Baseball. Oh, my God, are we ever going to have Gamera back? Are the Gorgons ever going to come back? Are the pterodactyls ever, whatever that pterodactyl's called? I forget what it's called. But, Rodan. Yes, Rodan. Are they ever going to come back? Because, big dog, the monsters have left baseball. Please, go with it.
Yes, Godzilla has retired.
No!
Yes, unfortunately, after 20 seasons, with Japan's Hiromi, whatever, Giants, and the New York Yankees and three other major league teams, Mr. Hideki Matsui has decided to call it a career. He hit 282 with 175 home runs in 10 big league seasons with the Yankees, Angels, Athletics, and Tampa Bay Rays. He only batted last year 147 in 34 games with the Rays last season before being released in August. Of course, Matsui had his best time with the Yankees, of course, signing a 3-year, $21 million contract with the Yankees as free agent in 2002 after a 10-year successful run in Japan, in which he won three Central League MVP awards. After the 2005 season, the Yankees kept him with a 4-year, $52 million extension. Of course, he was known for his durability, as Matsui appeared in 1,768 consecutive games to begin his career before a fractured wrist ended that streak in 2006. Mr. Matsui, it has been a pleasure watching you all this time.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank the big dog for that. Yes, Hideki Matsui is gone. He will be a Yankee. He played with three major league teams. Can you name one of those major league teams not being the Yankees? That's not a riddle, big dog.
Well, yeah, I just did. The Angels and the Athletics and the Tampa Bay Rays.
It was a trick question. Yes, yes. It was the California Angels. He was here for a year, big dog. Oh,
yeah.
Now Coffee says Oakland and Tampa. Yes, we know that.
Were you expecting this, scorekeeper, that he was probably going to announce retirement, or did you think he was going to try to come back for one more year?
I thought he was going to try for one more year somewhere, but his numbers were just, I mean, the gentleman is a little bit on in years, so it's about time. It's not an issue of money. And he did very well. I enjoyed him as a Yankee player, and it was great. As you all know, as the big dog mentioned, he was with the Yomiuri Giants, and 10 years in Japan, 10 years in the USA, slugged 332 home runs in Japan and 175 more in the major league. Wow! And of course, he was named the MVP in Game 4, or not Game 4. But he was named MVP in the World Series for the Yankees for clinching the final game with three home runs. It was pretty big, pretty big. And
now, does Japan have a Hall of Fame?
Oh, most, yes, most indeed he do.
Will he I mean, based on his numbers, I don't feel that he's qualified for Hall of Fame here, but do you think he's qualified for the Hall of Fame? Do you think he has the numbers to make it in Japan? I don't know his numbers in Japan, so.
Yes, only because... I'm so sorry. I apologize. Because his numbers were so impressive in Japan, and he was successful in the United States, so that would lend credence to him being a Hall of Fame player in Japan. Not here in the United States, because we are such pigs that we only consider Major League Baseball. So there you go.
Okay. Where else did you want to go in baseball?
Well, as a matter of fact, for top news, that was really it. There's actually, there's some more information on LaRoche and the Nets, stuff like that, and some other signings. I know the Big Dog has those, but we'll get to those in a little bit. I want to jump on over to football there, Big Dog. Big, big news, and it looks like the couch potato got it wrong. Looks like Sean Payton. Oh, my goodness. Sean Payton is going to remain a Saint with a 5-year contract extension. Did you get that, Big Dog?
Yes, I did. It's a 5-year contract extension. So the terms of the extension were undisclosed, but it's similar to the deal that was earlier disapproved by the league. It says that the Saints were given written permission by the NFL to negotiate a contract extension with Payton, who, of course, is suspended for the season. They were given permission in November. It says the extension was agreed upon by Payton and the Saints the contract that was earlier rejected by the NFL that was agreed by the Saints and Payton was because it contained a clause allowing Payton to leave if general manager Mickey Loomis was ever suspended or departed the organization, which, of course, had happened. So now it's probably the same deal, just the clause was taken out. Payton's pretty impressive, though. He's 62-34 in regular season games as a Saints coach. Of course, the one title, the only title ever brought to the Saints. And the Saints have won 41 regular season playoff games combined more than any other team in the NFL during Payton's time as head coach. So. You're right, though. I had it wrong also because I also felt that Payton was going to be let go and he was heading back to Dallas. So this was a little bit of a shock to me and, of course, a shock to Josh Potato. I don't know if you saw this one coming. I don't know if you felt that he was going to stay a Saint, but I didn't.
I did not know, Big Dog. First of all, there's a lot of things that could happen before the time his suspension was lifted. I do not believe that it was appropriate to be negotiating with someone who was suspended. What is the point of being suspended if during the suspension you can actually negotiate a new contract? You're supposed to be out of the league while the suspension goes on. So,
Technically, I mean, he is. I mean, he's suspended from coaching. So,
dude,
I mean,
you're suspended from your job. You cannot go to games. You can't do anything. Because if you remember correctly, no, they did. They did bring him to a game while Drew Brees was on his way to his record-breaking run. They had to ask permission for him to show up.
And the NFL gave the permission, though. So no rules were broken by the Saints.
I didn't say any rules were broken. I said it was inappropriate for them to actually be, negotiating with them who was suspended. It should have been. That's one reason why I did not comment about where he was going to go. Because by the time that the suspension would be lifted, some coaching decisions would have already been made. But I guess it's easier for the rest of the league now knowing that Sean Payton is not in the mix for free agent coaches. And now, since the Dallas Cowboys are actually going for a playoff run, I guess Garrett's job is secure for now.
True.
Wow. A lot of fights there. All right, yeah. Big Dog. Well, I don't know if you heard, but Rex Ryan. Yes, good old Rex Ryan, the bonehead. Coach says he wants to be a Jets coach for the next 15 years. Big Dog, can you imagine that?
Yep. I think he's just trying to cover his butt.
Yeah, when someone says that, I think they know that they're about to be fired. Apparently Rex Ryan has no plans to go anywhere. Doesn't want to, he said. The feisty New York Jets coach opened his news conference Friday by denouncing a published report, and of course it had a move, that said he would welcome being fired if owner Woody Johnson doesn't make significant personnel and coaching changes to the offense. Quote, that was a report that was untrue, Ryan said. The fact is, and it's simple, this is the only team that I want to coach, period. This is my team. These are my players. I don't want to coach somebody else's players. This is a team I want to coach. Yeah, Rex, they're 6-9. Good luck with that, pal. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Not too much more to add to that. Just that he said he also had a closed-door meeting with his players and coaches, I guess to explain to them that, no, he had not said what the Daily News reported that he had said. And he said he was so angry that he actually cried during his players and coaches only meeting. And now the players, of course, are behind him saying that, well, you know, oh, he was so mad that he actually cried because he was so angry that could even be said about him. So they say they're believing him, but who knows? I mean, you see the writing on the wall. You hear these type of things. Maybe he said it as an off flippant remark. Just, you know, off the cuff type of thing. Oh, you know, if they don't make changes, I want to be fired. And someone heard it. And, of course, you know, in this day and age, everything just goes viral right away. So he might have been saying it maybe as an off comment, but it was out there and he had to fix the situation.
Well, if in fact it was said, Rex Ryan knows when he said it and where it got out. But anyway, the paper, which quoted unidentified sources that stood by the report, the back page carried a picture of Ryan and the headline that said, Rex wants out unless Woody spends on Jets. Woeful offense. Terry Thompson, managing editor for sports at the Daily News, says it's a very solid report. Ryan said he was contacted by the reporter Thursday night, but his response wasn't included. Thompson said it was an off-the-record comment and as such was not published. And they are talking about how his answer to the reporter, which, of course, they called after hours to get a response. So, again, it was off the record, so Rex's response to the story was not carried in the newspaper. But he says there's no bigger Jet than me. Well, I don't know what he means, bigger Jet. I know he's a big man, but there are some bigger Jets on that team, so I don't know what he's talking about when he says that.
He's talking about his heart. He has
a heart. Yes, well, all right. Yeah, all right. Well, he wants to be coached for the next 15 years. And it is early in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is about 6:34 a.m. We are all over the place. There is some more news in the NFL. But before we get to that, we're going to jump on to the next story, and it is in the NBA, so we're going back to the NBA. Oh, my goodness, Big Dog, what the hell is going wrong in Los Angeles? Or, dare I say, what is going good in Los Angeles? And I'm not talking about the Lakers, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the center was suspended for the Lakers, but now we have the Clippers, winners of, dare I say, 16 in a row, Big Dog. I guess this is the answer for the Clippers, is it not?
What center was suspended?
I thought the center for the Lakers was suspended, was he not?
He was fined $35,000 for a flagrant 2 foul against the Denver Nuggets in the game which they lost. It wasn't that bad of a foul. It looked worse than what it actually was. If this was the 80s, he just would have got up and shot his free throws, and that would have been it. Everybody's going a little crazy, but it is what it is. So he was fined $35,000, so he's a little bit lighter in the pocket this weekend, but no biggie for him. He's earning $19.5 million this year, so $35,000, no biggie. On to the Clippers, though. The Clippers are riding a 16-game winning streak. The biggest, of course, in franchise history. They are making an impact this year. It is still early on, though, and they're playing excellent ball. I'm not taking anything away from the Clippers. The way they've been playing, they came from behind yesterday, a hard-fought win against the Utah Jazz. They beat them by 2 points. I believe the score was 110 to 108. Let me make sure on that. I'm sorry, it was 116-114 as the Clippers came from behind and won that one for their 16th win, as I said, in a row. They're playing excellent ball. They're playing team ball. They're playing the ball that everybody feels they should have been playing the last couple of years, especially last year also with Chris Paul on the team. But as I said, this is early on. this is a marathon. It's not a track meet. So we'll wait and see towards the end of the year if they're able to sustain this. Right now they are 24-6. And I believe they have the best record, if not one of the best records. I'm checking the standings right now. So,
I'm not sure if they actually have the best record. But it is big news that they pulled off a 19-point comeback in a place that they generally don't do well in, and this was pretty big. Of course, Paul did most of the damage. He scored 29 points, including the final seven, as Los Angeles pulled out a 2-point victory. Of course, the Clippers' winning streak is longest in the NBA since Boston won 19 in a row from November 15th to December
23rd. What year? 2008 year?
Yes.
Okay. The Clippers do have the best record in the NBA right now.
Well, I do appreciate that, Big Dog, and I want to bring her on live right now. Of course, Mrs. Clipper fan herself. Good morning, Darlene. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning, Darlene.
Good morning, Mark. How are you, Mark?
He's still sleeping.
Yeah, he's 4 months old now, isn't he?
No, he's still hanging with the three.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Hi, Mark. Hope you're doing well, Mark. And, Darlene, I am so, so sorry. I was remiss on the day that other guy comes into the world. I guess you really are, you know, God's gift to the world because you came in on December 25th. Oh, Darlene, 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 I'm so sorry. Happy belated birthday, kiddo.
Oh, thank you.
I think you had a good day, didn't you?
Not really.
Not really?
No.
Your Heat won and your Clippers won. You had a great day.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, for the NBA, yeah, you know, but birthday Noel. Another year older. Yay.
No, you're another year better.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes. So, Darlene, your Clippers have won 16 in a row, and when I saw your number coming in, that's when I realized that we should head on over to the Clippers. Tell us, Darlene, you are the biggest Clipper fan on this network.
Yes, we really don't give a damn, but go ahead.
I am the best. We're the best right now in the NBA.
There it is. And why are the Clippers the best in the NBA right now, Darlene?
Because they're the best lineup. They have two lineups. No matter what, if anybody gets hurt, there's another one replacing them. Just the best. We're young. We're faster. If you're going
to
hit on it, go ahead. I've been hearing it the whole week.
No, not at all. If you would have heard me earlier, I said that
the only thing I keep hearing, oh, the Lakers have 16 rings. I'm like, who gives a fuck? Sorry. Oops. Sorry.
Beep. It's okay. There's no FCC here. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Who cares who won 16? We're talking about now the NBA. We're not talking about back then. That was back then.
That was only two years ago.
Yeah, but who cares about the Lakers? That's why everybody keeps telling you, well, the Lakers was 16. Well, we got Kobe. Like, who cares? We're talking about right now. Right now is what we're talking about. We're not talking about the past. That's all I keep hearing. Because why? Because the Clippers are doing more better than the Lakers.
That's not a problem. And as I said, the Clippers are doing great. This is the best winning streak that's been around in a long time, and they're playing team ball the way they should be playing. But as I said before, too, and I'm not taking anything away from them, but and like I said, I would rather have them had done this streak a little bit later on in season just to see how they would react to the – I would love to have seen this streak maybe in the middle of – end of January, early February. But to me, it's a little bit early. I want to see what happens when they finally do lose, because they're going to lose sooner or later. They got to lose a game. I mean, let's just say everybody's going to lose a game. I want to see how they react to it after this great, great, and like I said, I'm not taking anything away from this. This is a great run. I watched some of their games, and they're playing excellent ball. They're right now, they're up there with Oklahoma City. That's the only other team right now, because even Miami's not playing great ball. They're playing okay ball, but they're losing a lot. To me, Miami doesn't seem as hungry as they were last year. And of course, it's because they won the title. But it seems like they're still in after-party mode, you know, which is fine because the East is so weak. They're going to be there anyways. But right now, the Clips are up there with Oklahoma City. And when they have their game, I'm not sure when the Clips are playing Oklahoma City, whether it's here or there, that can be one hell of a game. And I hope it's on national TV for everybody to see.
You're just hating. You just want the Clippers to lose. What could it just be? Hey,
no,
L.A.
No.
At least it's L.A.
No,
okay,
I didn't say I wanted the Clippers to lose.
I can't wait for next Friday. You know, next Friday I want to see who's going to win, Lakers or Clipper. I mean, I'm going to be there. Right there.
Okay,
you meet the game?
Oh, I'm trying to get those tickets by today.
Wow.
Ooh.
All right. Well, darling, congratulations. We'll get a live report from you on that day. I don't know. We'll see. But, darling, here's the deal. Here's my comment. You know, first of all, basketball is my third sport. I love basketball dearly. I played it. But, quite frankly, darling, look, the Clippers are winning today. There is no history with the Clippers. The Clippers are who and what they are. They've had
exactly.
the past, and they have flaked out. But, Darlene, today is a brand new day, and the Clippers are the best team in basketball. If you want anyone else to respect that or to even really care, Darlene, they're 24-6. There have been a lot of teams started very well and have flaked. But today is 24-6. The Clippers are the best team in Los Angeles and the best team in the NBA. All I have to say is, Darlene, enjoy it while it lasts.
Exactly. I am enjoying it. The only thing I can hear is, well, the Lakers won 16. The Lakers did. We're not talking about back then. Come on. 16 wins, and the Lakers have lost more than 16. Come on.
Yeah, well,
no.
It's okay, Darlene. I really wouldn't
look,
work
They don't look
that.
At numbers now. They only look at the past. So, I mean, what can I say? Like, okay, fine. You know, the more they talk, the more the Clipper wins. That's the whole time I've been so quiet. Not quiet, like, okay, you guys talk about my Clipper.
You've
been
so quiet?
Nobody. Yeah, well, of course, big dog, like, oh, there's nobody. Well, I remember last year and the year before, you know, all the typical women never make it. They never have a chance. I ain't nobody. Hey.
Okay.
We're trying to give us our 15 minutes of fame. 15 minutes
never,
of fame.
Never,
come on,
big
dog.
I never said that they would never make it. I never said that.
Hey, LeBron would never get a ring. LeBron, but then he got a ring.
No, darling. I never said LeBron would never get a ring. I said I would like him not to get a ring, but the team. You can go back and check. I've always said the team is so good that they have to win.
Stupid sport like basketball.
It may not be this year. It may not be next year. I go, but they are going to win a ring sooner or later. I said that.
Ladies and gentlemen, stop, big dog, Darlene, stop. I won't love this match from the owner. It's live with AJ
Magic.
You still owe me dinner. You said that LeBron is never going to win. I remember when I was over there at Westwood with you, and we spoke. You said, well, look.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I put Darlene and the big dog on hold so they can stop fighting. AJ, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I rang up to have a serious discussion. We are the cricket world in general, not just Australia, but the whole cricket world lost one of the most important people today. His name was Tony Gregg, captain England. Throughout the 60s and half the 70s, he helped revolutionise the one-day game, and it's a massive loss for cricket in general. So I was ringing up to have a serious discussion, and basketball's not important to anyone, so you can talk about that later.
Well, good morning, AJ. I know the whole big deal about cricket, but before we get to that, AJ, right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but like the best cricket players in India, correct?
Sorry?
The best player is in India, right? Based on how many records he's broken.
Sachin Tendulkar. He's just retired. Yeah, he's scored more runs than anyone, scored more hundreds and fifties. He's considered the best batsman to ever play. A lot of people say Bradman, but he played in 1800, so I don't class him as a cricketer. So in the modern game, he was definitely the best. He was from India. India was a powerhouse of cricket and still are to this day. But, yeah, Tony Gregg, he was born in South Africa but lived most of his life in England. He was a commentator for cricket in Australia since the 70s. So he helped revolutionise the game, the one-day game, with Kerry Packer. You probably know who he is. And he invented the cricket helmet so you could bowl bouncers at people's heads at 100 miles an hour. So, yeah, he was a big deal. He was a very special man regardless of what country he was from. So it was a good thing, a bad thing. But it was a good thing for cricket, but it's a sad day that he lost. He fought lung cancer and won and died of a heart attack today.
Wow. I actually had caught that report, AJ, and I'm glad you brought that up to us because I don't know if we would have gotten to it. But I wanted to bring the big dog back into it. Big dog, this is big news. This is the monitor. AJ, are you out in the open?
Sort of, yeah. I'm sort of a bit pressed for time, but I wasn't going to call in because we're a bit busy. It's that time of year where it seems that every man and their dog goes to the city to get drunk in between Christmas and New Year. So it's sort of busy, but I've put some time aside for you just to mention that and wish you a happy New Year and all that and hope your Christmases went well and the turkeys got eaten and whatever else you do over there.
I appreciate that, AJ, and it means a great deal to me. I also want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that I survived the AJ Maggot Christmas wish. And I saw it. Apparently, I was the only one able to comment on it. Otherwise, we would have been kicked off his webpage. Thank you, AJ.
No, you're an exception to the rule, mate. You're a special person, so there's no way I could get rid of you that quickly.
I appreciate that, AJ. Big dog, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that. I chuckled when I seen it. That you were the only exception. You were the only exception allowed by AJ, which I thought was great.
Yeah, I
have everyone.
Tell you.
fire here. It's really loud here. I'm in the quietest part of the city I can find, and I'm still getting drowned out.
It's all good. AJ, we also have Darlene on with us right now.
Super. How many times do I have to say her name?
AJ.
Good morning.
No.
It's morning for both of us, so I know that I'm right on the money there.
Okay, here we go. Right now, a copy is telling us that cricket was invented in Philadelphia in the United States.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's copy, but it's all right. And he says, of course, cricket isn't a sport. Any activity that takes 7 days to play isn't even athletic. Is that true?
Well, it's 5 days. Yeah, no, they're physical specimens. Yes, they're athletes. If cricket's not a sport, neither is baseball, and you know my stance on baseball, so I'll ignore that one. Next.
Whoa. Coffee's a hockey fan. Don't slam baseball yet, pal.
Oh, okay, so how's your hockey season going? Is it pretty good? Are you enjoying all the buys?
Coffee, Merry Christmas, pal.
I think he just got owned from Australia. That's never happened before.
Yeah, that's right. You guys don't have crippling strikes over there, do you?
Sorry?
You don't have crippling strikes over there, do you?
No. We'd rather play sport than earn millions of dollars and pretend that we're more important than the rest of the world.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, a lesson from a man down under. So, how's your holiday?
Yeah, because $100 million a season is just not enough. Let's go on strike.
Yeah, that's true. Go ahead, Big Dog. You were going to comment?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, that I wish sports here took that attitude that, you know, hey, it's a sport. Let's just play. We're lucky enough to even be paid to do what we're doing. So just play, you know, because that's what you enjoy doing. But no, it's
exactly.
Like you said, you know, they want to get paid, you know, $20, $30 million a year or more.
Yeah, exactly. Our major sport, well, we've got two football codes that are our major sports. Rugby league, the one I follow, the whole team, which is a 25-man roster, the whole team has a $5.5 million salary cap. Imagine how big the sooks over there would complain if they only got $500,000 a year to play something that they love. Ridiculous.
Wow. How would that go over, Raj, let's say, Pujols and Fielder only getting $500,000 a year?
No, it wouldn't go over very well. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if minor league players earn that much.
Yeah.
Or that little.
Never mind. America's not known for doing something by heart, are they?
No. No, hell no.
It's all good. He's going to have to organize a time when I can get together and have a good conversation about other things rather than the passing of cricket legends or sports or how bad your sports are. I've never been a fan of basketball or football. I dig your baseball. I like the violence involved in hockey, but I've been missing all the games that they've missed as well. I'm going to go because I've sort of got to get back to work. And I wish you the best New Year's now, and let us know when you're doing a general Tuesday night show, and I'll be a part of that.
I appreciate that, AJ. I actually have, you know, it's interesting that I actually have offers for this Tuesday on the other host doing it. So, who knows, AJ? But we'll be in contact. Godspeed on your day, and I hope you don't have to deal with too many idiots. And we'll be seeing you, AJ. Appreciate the call, man.
It's all good. Thanks, folks. I'll see you later, Pete. Big Dog.
Bye.
Roger, scorekeeper. Who else? Sonny, Darlene. Timothy's around, and wow, some drunk girl nearly got smashed by a taxi. You hear the horn? Awesome. I'm going back to work because I'm probably missing lots of fun. I'll see you later.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right. Thanks, AJ. Happy New Year's. It was a great call. As a matter of fact, when I actually checked that call as it was coming in, I decided to screen the call. And it was AJ. He says, why the hell did you keep me on hold for 20 minutes and I had to listen to basketball? I thought that was unbelievable.
Oh, poor guy.
But all right, guys, it's all cool. We all love the sport that we love. I think it's great, and we're going to move on a little bit. Big Dog, did you have any other basketball news that you want to get? Otherwise, I wanted to get over.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the big ones was that, of course, the Nets fired Avery Johnson after a 14-14 start. Of course, they started out winning 11 of the first 15 games, and now have gone just 3-10 in December. Prompted them to make the change. I was extremely surprised that they got rid of Avery Johnson so soon. I would have thought that they would have given him a little bit longer. Of course, he was in the final year of a 3-year contract. He holds no ill will towards the Nets. He said this is a business. I don't know if you heard the interview or not, but in his interview he was saying, you know, I'm just the coach. He goes, I'm not the owner. I'm not the general manager. He goes, if I was the owner and the general manager, he goes, I wouldn't have been fired. He goes, of course. He goes, you never fire yourself. And of course, I think maybe he was taking a dig at the Dallas Cowboys. But he was in the final year of a 3-year, $12 million contract. He says what ownership was saying is that they felt he no longer was connecting with the players anymore, that they weren't listening to him. So he would let go of P.J. Carlissimo, of course, who has head coaching experience. He was his assistant coach, took over, and they won their first game. Of course, it was against the lowly Bobcats, who have now lost 17 in a row. And, of course, the main three people that they're talking about, of course, is Phil Jackson to coach them, and also Jeff Van Gundy, who is, of course, the ESPN analyst. Those are their top two guys that are being considered for this job. They really haven't gotten an answer back from Phil Jackson yet. Jeff Van Gundy is saying that he would much rather take the team over at the beginning of the season, or in other words, next season, rather than in the middle of the season. That does not interest him. Also up for the coaching position is Jerry Sloan, which I doubt is going to happen because of Darren Williams. Nate McMillan, Mike Dunleavy, and Flip Saunders, and, of course, Stan Van Gundy, Jeff's brother. But Stan Van Gundy has already said he has no interest in the job. So we're going to wait and see. Most likely they're going to move fast, so we'll have an answer probably within about a week, week and a half, as to who the new coach will be. Hello, hello? Anybody out there?
Here we are, Big Dog. I do apologize. I was screening one of the calls right now. We do have Mr. Sonny Clark listening to us this early in the morning, but he's taking care of some stuff. I think he's preparing his drug, you know. It's called a cup of Joe. He's preparing it right now as he's waking up this early morning. So I'm still going to do it, his intro. I love doing it. Haven't done it in a while. And out of respect for the old guy, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. He is listening live, even though he is on mute right now. His name is Sonny Clarkson, and I blew it already.
Yeah, you did.
I guess it's some. He's the hardest working man in sports. He's the couch potato. Yes, I did mess that one up. But all right, I apologize, Sonny. When you come live, I'm sorry. When you go live with us, then we'll actually do it correctly. Tim McLeod apparently was working this morning. He had to work early, and he let me know that. That's why he was in on a Tanya's program yesterday. And as you know, Tanya had a lot of issues with her computer yesterday, so that's why I was assisting her on that.
Yeah.
And that's why Tim showed up on the Razor Glass, which was kind of cool. And Coffee was there too, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, it's cool.
And you mentioned how tall Tanya was. Was that true, the height that you mentioned?
Yes. Hey, Darlene, how tall are you?
5'5".
Wait. Oh, I was going to take a guess. I was actually going to say 5'4", but okay. I wasn't too far off.
I'm not Oaxaca.
Cool. not that we as men. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What was that, Darlene?
I'm not a Oaxaca.
That's funny. But not, you know, let's not get a little too arrogant here, but we men don't exactly measure that stuff, but we always wonder how tall women are. And Tanya admitted in the program before you were on there, big dog, as to how tall she was, because she was talking about New Year's resolutions, and she said about having love handles.
Ooh,
she said she had love handles. Now, Darlene, she is a short little girl. She is short. I know she's short. She's about like 5'1", 5'2", and she said she had love handles. And I said, cut it out. It is physically impossible for you to have love handles. And I kind of like wrote her on that subject for a little bit, and she says, okay, Roger, I am actually 4'11¼".
When you mentioned that, I was going to say, when I got in, I heard you mention that, but I wasn't sure if she could do that in New York, but I was going to say, when she gets a license, if she comes out to California, she can get a handicap license.
Yeah. Well, we were kidding around about how I said, well, do you get any discounts when you go to, like, Disneyland or something?
That's bad.
That's why I brought it back up again, and I thought it was interesting. So you thought I was filling out a secret? No. She already said it earlier. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of our resident hotties, she's 4'11½". Wow. Yeah?
You glossed over my comment about after what I said afterwards when she said she was in pigtails.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Well, that's not exactly what you said, big dog.
No, you said she was in pigtails, and I said, and she's in, because Darlene, what he had said was, he's like, well, if you come to California, maybe I can, since you're so short, maybe I can get you in on a child's ticket instead. And she's like, oh, she goes, I'll wear pigtails if I have to. So then, of course, I snuck in the car. I kind of was like, well, can you wear the schoolgirl uniform, too?
At which point, I talked over the big dog and just blew him off on that one. She did not hear. And I was like, no. I thought that was very funny. But another one of our resident hotties, of course, is Darlene. She's here with us right now. I got to tell
hottie?
You.
It's a big thing. No, I'm
yeah,
not
here
tomorrow.
You are.
No. Oh, please.
Here you are.
200 pounds.
Darlene.
I am 200 pounds.
But
you're
not 200
pounds.
You're pretty, though. You're pretty and you're cute.
You're too kind.
No, it's true.
Okay, Darlene, first of all, Darlene, we're not desperate. We do have, you know, we do love the fact that women call in the morning. And, we clearly admire what we have in front of us. You are one of our resident hotties, and I've said it before. It's not the first time I say it. Probably the first time I can say it personally. But, hell yeah, you are. I better watch out when you go walking around, Darlene, because you never know who's watching. You got to pay attention.
Hello, who's that big girl over there? Walking side to side. I walk like with like the marshmallow man. What are you talking about? I look like the marshmallow man.
No. One's a lucky man to have you.
Oh, hey. Hell yeah.
One.
No,
we look
one.
Like a perfect 10. We look like a perfect 10. I know.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's a stick figure and a big, big donut.
No.
Yeah. ladies and gentlemen, I believe we may have lost Matt. Oh, he says we're breaking up. Hopefully we're not. Hey, Coffee, if you could give us a quick little sound check, please. Maybe you can let us know how it's going. But, yeah. So Coffee says, so she's a cute size with the cutest accent ever. Tanya rules, says Coffee. Yeah, dude. She might move out here to Southern California, so you better come on out of here to Southern California. So there you go. You can meet her in that person. I forget what I said about. You know what? I said something to the effect early on when she was 4 feet, 11 inches, and a half. And she says, well, it's really a quarter. And I was like,
that's how you
would
count the half?
I know, yeah. Ooh, look at Darlene from her 5'5 perch.
That I don't put 5'5 and a half in my ID.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't do that. Now, of course, Coffee says the best place to live is Vancouver, Washington. Thanks, Matt. Hopefully the reception is much better. Well, I don't know. That's why he said.
Matt's back.
Okay, well, he likes Vancouver, Washington. You know, the American guy likes Canada or whatever we call it. But, hey, it is all good in the hood, ladies and gentlemen. Big Dog, I understand, going back to the basketball news for the Knicks,
yes.
There is really, really a lot of talk in the blogosphere about Mr. Laker head coach going over there. How much do you really see that happening? Do you think the Nets are actually going to spend the money? Will they actually do it?
Money is not a problem. Of course, Mr. Prokhorov, of course, is a billionaire and does not mind spending millions and millions of dollars. That's not the problem. The problem, of course, is if Phil Jackson wants to go. Phil Jackson, as you guys all know, is not the type of coach, and I've talked about this before, you know, considered one of the, if not the best coach of all time. The thing, though, with Phil Jackson is Phil Jackson does not build a team up. Phil Jackson gets you there. Phil Jackson comes in to get you over the hump. He did that with Chicago, and he's done that with the Lakers. I don't believe that, right, as of right now, the players that are on the Nets team are a championship-caliber team. They're not the team that are on the cusp. They are still a few years and a couple of players away. And I don't think Phil Jackson, especially at his age now, I believe he's 67 or 68, he's not going to want to go to a team and have to build it for a couple of years and then hope to get a championship. I mean, you do still have the juggernaut that is the Miami Heat. You still have the old guys who we keep writing off every single year, the Boston Celtics, and every single year they're right there. Plus, we have to wait and see to see how Derrick Rose comes back from Chicago and if they're going to be a significant factor in the playoffs once again. So I think taking all that into account, not even accounting the New York Knicks and the phenomenal season they're having this year, taking all that into account, I don't think Phil's going to want to go there and build a team.
I appreciate that, Big Dog. That was some wonderful analysis right there. I do want to let you know that Matt is telling us in the chat room, because his font was all wing-dingy, all messed up there, but he was telling us that we always have to make fun of people. So I don't know if this might be bullying. I don't know. But I do wish to apologize. And it's too easy. It's too much fun, so I do apologize for that. Didn't want to make fun of everyone. But, hey, it is what it is. I know the couch potato has been awake for 10 minutes and 51 seconds on hold, so let me see if he's ready to join us right now. Well, good morning, couch potato.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm fine.
You are wide awake now.
Well, wide awake is probably an exaggeration, but I'm awake.
Fair enough. So how are you doing?
I'm just waking up and... And getting set, I actually was going to do some, what's that thing in radio everybody does before you get on air? Oh, prep work. Yeah. We're gonna do it this morning with no prep work at all. I'll be honest, we got a show here, what, in 50 minutes, and I have no clue what we're going to talk about.
Oh, wow, But Sonny Clark, you are so, so good at what you do. I got to tell you, look, Coffee says prep work is overrated and couch needs coffee. I don't drink coffee. That's kind of funny. And nobody in radio does it. Hey, Coffee, be cool. Be cool, man. I actually prepped this morning. Why do you think I'm on the Big Dog to do stuff. And don't get a visual image of that. I'm talking about the work here. I'm on him for that. And he says,
hey, Cal,
not sure who misinformed Sonny is. Way to go, Coffee. Go ahead,
hey,
big dog.
Couch,
yes,
you can handle it just fine because you're a professional.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. So, now, I was kind of listening a little bit here as I was, you know, getting ready.
Wait,
actually, I haven't had my cup of Joe yet because it was just literally when I called in, I went right there, and my Joe should be ready here in about 2 or 3 minutes. But take away from that, but Avery Johnson being fired, I just want to know, is that a great big surprise after his, you know, really, and I don't want to call it failure, but it just not being able to get the job done when he was here in Dallas. They, of course, they had him as the coach when they went up against Miami the first time, but just couldn't get the job done, or finding the right participants at the right time to bring a winning team to Dallas. I mean, is it any great? And I was actually surprised the Nets went after him when they did.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when he was hired as coach a couple of years ago. I do see what management was saying, that he seemed to have lost his connection with the team. When the Lakers played them just last earlier, a few days ago, he was putting in some of the weirdest lineups. I mean, he was going like all small, all big, and just seemed to be trying to find a combination that worked, which was odd, the fact that, you know, it's pretty much the same players that he's had the last couple of years, but yet couldn't find a combination that worked. So it could be true what management was saying, that he just lost his connection with the team. But, yeah, Avery seems to last only a few years in a city, and then kind of loses his welcome, but kind of loses his connection with the team.
Yeah, bottoms out, I guess you can say. At some point, you know, as a owner of any kind of franchise, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, or even for that matter, hockey, at some point you got to make a decision what's best for the team. And frankly, he didn't even do a good job when he was there in the first place. I mean, we weren't talking about the Nets making the playoffs for the last 2 years that he's been there. And frankly, if you look at the talent that's on the team, there shouldn't be any reason why that team is not making the playoffs as it is. But I think, and maybe, and I could be wrong, but I think you said something about Jerry Sloan. Isn't he 80, for God's sake? I mean, that guy, I can't believe anybody would maybe go to that extreme with him to get Jerry Sloan. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Jerry Sloan. Frankly, I think he was one of the best coaches in the world until, you know, the coach killer got a hold of him. But, I mean, he is so old. I mean, I know you're looking for ways of winning, but grabbing a Jerry Sloan, that's not obviously a long-term solution. He's going to die in about a year or two. This guy's got one foot in the grave. I don't know what they're – I mean, I'm not sure why that's even a thought process for them.
Yeah, his age is one thing. And, of course, the other thing is Darren Williams is on the team, so why would you bring Darren Williams back to it? And, you know, Shaq and Barkley had a lot to say about Avery Johnson getting fired, and they blamed Darren Williams on it, saying, I guess Darren Williams once again has been complaining about the offense and not liking the way the offense is how it's been geared and set up. But the thing is, I loved what Shaq had to say about it, which was, you know, you're the guy that's got the ball in his hands 90% of the time, but yet you're complaining about the offense.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Shaq told him to look in the mirror, you know. And, of course, Barkley said straight out, you know, you're the guy that got Jerry Sloan fired. Now you're the guy that's getting Avery Johnson fired. So, you know, he has a reputation now of that. And, of course, Darren Williams has already come out saying, I had nothing to do with it. Kind of the exact same thing that he said in Utah before he was dealt away.
And it also kind of sounds like some other basketball player that we know of. One of scorekeeper's favorites. It's going to be pretty soon. We're gonna hear him come out like Allen Iverson in practice.
It's practice.
You know, I'm telling you, the ego is about ready to show its ugly face up there, and that's what could end up happening regarding Darren Williams. So, you know, I'll be honest. I think the guy's a talent, and I know for a fact Dallas and Mark Cuban were wanting to go after him hot and heavy. And all I gotta say is they better thank their lucky stars they weren't able to get that deal done. Because say what you want about Dallas, Rick Carlisle is a great coach. I don't think those two would have meshed at all.
I agree, and that would have been, I think, one of the few times where the player loses out. Because I don't think Cuban would have put up with it. Cuban knows how good Carlisle is. And the fact that it would have already happened once up in Utah, had he went to Dallas, I think Cuban would have turned around and dealt Darren Williams away.
Depending on the whole situation, I don't know if Rick Carlisle could change the attitude of that kid. But sometimes, and I hate to even say this because it's so pessimistic, but sometimes you just can't help a young kid. Sometimes, and you know, Allen Iverson would be one of those that he's got the Allen Iverson personality. You know, I'm supposed to be, you know, the superstar, and we're sitting here talking about practice. Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about, because you got to get the job done and you got to figure out what you're going to do. And the only time that you're able to do that is in practice. So, you know, he's just along the same lines as Darren Williams or Allen Iverson, and I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, he blackballs himself out of the NBA, and before you know it, he'll be playing in another country with some team that will put up with him just because of his name.
Well, yeah, guys, right now, Coffee talks about it, and he quotes, he said, like I said, Roger, Deron Williams wants to play for a full-size brother, not a fun-size brother. And he says he doesn't want to play for Whitey. So that's what Coffee writes in the chat.
Race
so.
Card!
Yeah. I really wanted to see Deron Williams in a Laker uniform, but I'm really happy that he did not sign. Sometimes, guys, sometimes a deal not made is the best one. And, yeah, there are incredible echoes to what happened in Utah, which is what's going on over there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. It's funny, Sonny, how it happened there. He was able to get around it. And then the exact same situation happens where he's at now. I mean, what do they say? Smoke and fire? Yeah,
hey,
exactly.
When it happens once, it could be somebody's personality. It's almost like marriage, okay? When it happens once, you know, you can kind of say, well, okay, maybe it was both of their fault. But when it gets to the second and third time, pretty soon you're going to have to put the weight on your own shoulders and say, hey, it's my fault. Same thing with Darren Williams, man. This guy, he's, okay, I'll just say it in a different way. This guy's a punk thug. Okay, and he thinks everything's owed to him because he has a little bit of talent right now. But I could not imagine that guy on the same team with Kobe Bryant. Okay, Kobe is known to have an ego, but at the same time, it's understood that's Kobe's team. You walk in and try to take Kobe's team, all you got to do is look at the situation with Shaq and Kobe, and you're going to have the same damn thing. And I don't know if that's good nor bad. They won how many championships? But still, you don't need that kind of tension on a basketball team if you're trying to win the championship.
Yeah, big dogs. They won three together, and or no, they won five together. Correct? Who?
No, not Shaq. Not Shaq and Kobe.
Kobe's won five, but
I think he did it without. I think he did
yeah.
it three times with Shaq, right?
Yeah, three times with Shaq. Wow. Now, I want to switch this one over to Darlene because, Darlene, if you were listening, Couch Potato says, you know, if it happens once in a marriage, okay, but if it happens twice, the blame's got to go on someone. So congratulations to you and Mark Anakin. You know, he is 3 months old. So whose fault was it, Darlene? The Juan's or was it yours?
Swan.
Oh, Swan. Okay. Well,
Juan,
congratulations.
That's a marriage
Hennigan.
There.
Yeah, it was Juan's fault. So, Mark,
absolutely.
You can always thank your father for that. So the
sometimes when you're in a marriage, you have to accept responsibility, even though you know it's not your fault. That's just part of being married.
Yeah, so I guess the next time around, it's going to have to be Darlene's fault. Right, Darlene?
Yeah, right.
No.
No.
That's
no.
What I said. Sometimes it's
uh-oh.
Painful to be right.
Yeah, I know. So, Darlene, hopefully you'll come over and visit us this weekend.
Oh, we'll try. This little guy's getting sick.
I know everyone is getting sick, so consider that. We're already sick, so it's not like it's going to matter. Mm-hmm. And once again, I want to thank the big dog for that. Oh, how you feeling, big dog?
Ooh.
Well, next time, don't kiss me then, all right?
Yeah, no kidding. You're swapping the spit way too much over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know. I can't even go there on Saturday. It's only them. They closed the door for me.
No, darling, you can come over. You can be right between us.
Yeah, so I can see you guys kissing.
One for each cheek, right?
notice, gentlemen, since we've already discussed quite a bit of other news and scurrilous rumors and stories here, let's see. Coffee says, I'm not even dating and everything gets blamed on me. It's good fun.
Poor Roger.
No, that was Coffee, not me. I didn't say that. No, I have other problems. It's so funny. I texted the big dog on Thursday, and he didn't even bother to respond to me. I was wondering whether the text actually went to him or to someone else.
What did you text?
No, I'm not going to say anything on air. So
why
anyway.
Not? No one else is listening.
No, actually, they are. You're funny, Sonny Clark.
No, I mean, my wife never listens to my show is what I'm saying. She's sick of listening to me as it is, never mind an all hour of couch. No, your wife doesn't listen to your shows. Go for it.
Actually, there are quite a few people in my wife's family that does listen to this program.
Oh, your wife's family. I got it.
Yeah. I mean, my family doesn't give a flying F about this.
Yeah, okay. All right. That makes sense, then.
In her family, the male's listening because it's a sports audience. So I'm not about.
I see the one you left. Okay.
Yeah. In our family, in my wife's family, they believe that we are holier than thou, and I don't know where that came from. So they would love to get any tidbit on us. So it's not my fault that you guys are in debt. It's not my fault that you guys can't get your act together. It's not my fault you guys can't live together. Hey, you know what? We've only been doing it for 20 years. So why don't you guys go bite me? So anyway.
And there you have it, folks.
And that's all about sports.
Yes, it is. Oh, it most definitely is about sports. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to go back to football right now because there's some big issues going on going into the last game of the season, and I'm talking about record-breaking stuff.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, I remember back in 1984 being at my grandmother's house on the Sunday morning and my uncle, Rudy, coming over, and the radio was playing very, very loud. It was he was a hardcore football fan. He was the football turkey guy and football guy. I think I said the same thing. And he put the radio up as it was about to happen. I didn't know what was going on. And then I realized when it actually took. And I listened to it live when Eric Dickerson set the record for most yards in a season. We all know it was done in 1984. By Eric Dickerson, 2,105 yards. Adrian Peterson has basically come out of nowhere, when you look at how he's been hurt lately, to only be 208 yards short going into the final game of the season. Couch potato. Wow.
Yeah, that is wow. especially since if you think about the injury that he had, he wasn't expected to be back earliest until week number 6 or 7. So that's number one. I mean, so obviously you can see the guy actually heals from an injury pretty good. That's nice, you know. Never mind the fact that he's been that kind of record almost hurts my feelings, because I'm a guy of old school, okay? And when Emmitt Smith broke Walter Payton's record, I cried. And that's just number one because Walter Payton was my hero, but number two, it's the right one, because when I looked at Emmitt Smith, I was like, geez, if Walter Payton had that offensive line, no one would even come close to breaking Walter Payton's record. And Walter Payton got his yards by himself. Emmitt Smith got it because he had one hell of an offensive line. So I like those old school records, and I like that. But here's the thing, and when I look at that game, as far as Adrian Peterson getting 200 yards, it's not realistic, especially the playoffs are on the line, okay? The playoffs are on the line. When you got Minnesota going this weekend, you got to be careful, because you win this football game, you almost write yourself a ticket into the playoffs. I think one other team has to lose or something like that. I don't know the background, because I haven't done the prep work for tomorrow's show. But if I'm not mistaken, what other team needs to lose? And I just, you know, if you're Adrian Peterson, I would think that you would want the victory more so than the record.
I agree there, Sonny Clark. And before I go to the big dog's comment, Eric Dickerson was, he was quoted on the NFL Total Access Network. Says, I don't want him to break my record. I'm not going to tell that lie, but he's such a great player, and I'll say it. If a record that is meant to go down to one guy, I'd have it'll have to be him. And he says everybody wants to keep their record until they die. Maybe their son comes along and breaks the record, blah, 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 blah. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you people have to realize what is going on. This was written by Kansas on NFL.com, and the first line is, Eric Dickerson, you are the man of integrity. Big Dog, Eric Dickerson, a man of integrity? Is that true?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a man who renegotiated his contract twice with the Rams,
right?
Because he said a quote-unquote, and I'm paraphrasing, the drive just isn't there for me anymore.
Yes. That's why, that's why he earned the name Eric Dickless towards the end of his career.
Okay. Should have been more like Eric Feckless, but that's neither here nor there.
Now, let me ask you a question. Isn't that just another way of saying I want a raise? I mean...
Well, he did. I mean, it's exactly what he said. I wanted a raise, and he was the best running back for a long time, and he was good at it, and he was able to do it. This guy had a contract signed, sealed, guaranteed, and he parlayed it to two additional significant raises. And
now, why does that make him a jerk more so than a genius?
Well, Sonny, I'm talking about Eric Dickerson. You are a man of integrity. No. A man of integrity signs his contract and lives up to it.
The NFL can cut a contract whenever they want. I mean, come on. I mean, you can
That's
sign
today,
the contract.
Sonny.
And
that's the day.
Oh, that was, hold on. Wasn't that in the same day?
It was in 1984. No, those contracts were guaranteed.
I have to look that up, and I will say, if that is correct, then I'll agree with you.
Well, it really doesn't matter in that you're right. He was able to parlay to more money. Good for him.
Yeah.
And I find it funny that this guy writes you are a man of integrity. Not even close. Not even close.
Who wrote it? Who wrote the article?
Sir Dick, I'm sorry, Dan Hansa on NFL.com.
I was going to say, he's on NFL.com. I'll find that. If I think that's who it is, I never really take what that guy says with a grain of salt anyway. So I'm going to go take a look at that and find out. It's on NFL.com?
Yeah, Sonny, I just told you it was on NFL.com, and it was written by Dan Hansa.
Oh, it is the guy. Hey, listen. Okay. All right.
Why the hell are you questioning everything I'm saying today?
No. I'm not questioning anything you're saying. What I'm saying is I don't take what this guy. I wanted to see the picture of the guy before I made the statement. This guy. He might as well be on Blog Talk Radio. I mean,
I'm just saying.
It's one thing to know the sport. It's another just to write about it. And I think there's a huge difference. And this guy's just a writer, and this guy's not even close to even being of age to know what kind of guy Eric Dickerson is in reality. So I don't take with what he says at all.
So actually, Sonny, you're saying he should be writing for Bleacher Report.
Yeah, exactly, where you don't get paid instead of Examiner, where you do, which, by the way, I had an announcement on my show. I'm actually going to retire from being the writer for the Dallas Cowboys. Just mainly because it's the same article over and over. They suck. mainly because of timing and stuff like that. But I'm still going to write up on the minor league stuff that I do with the Texas Revolution and some of the other stuff I write. So I might throw an article up every once in a while about the Cowboys, but they're asking for more factual writing, and I'm more of an opinionated writer at the same time, too. So there's a difference, and it makes it a little bit harder. So I don't want to write more factual stuff because the factual stuff for the Dallas Cowboys makes it look like they're a great football team in reality. So I don't like
speaking of said Dallas, since they have their destiny in their own hands, will they come through or will they blow it tomorrow?
I got my lucky coin one side, and I found this. I got my lucky coin, which I was actually going through, you know, after you've lived in a place for 6 months, then you decide to go through the boxes that you didn't obviously need for 6 months. And I found my lucky coin. One side is a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and the other side is the explanation of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. So the heads would be the actual Tyrannosaurus, and the tails would be the explanation. And I would flip this up in the air to figure out who's going to win this football game because, you just don't know what you're going to get from the Dallas Cowboys. And that's the factual part that they don't want to hear. Most people don't want to hear. They want to hear the facts like who they signed and all that other stuff. The fact of the matter is that the Dallas Cowboys are a very inconsistent team. This year, they are the Jekyll and Hyde football team of the NFL. And then they go up against RG3, man. And we don't know how he's going to be because he's got a brace on. And I saw some of the moves while he had the braces on, watching some of the stuff. Boy, he doesn't look like he's moving around all that great. But then again, shoot him up with something, you know, to numb the pain, he might turn back into the same old RG3. So I don't know what to expect in that game. I really don't.
Okay.
I will say this, though. Putting it on Sunday Night Football right there in prime time was genius.
Yes, that was good. Yeah, as soon as they saw that, I heard that they rescheduled it and they put it for the primetime game, which was great. Like you said, genius.
So, and week 17 is where all games are going to be played on Sunday, which is one of the reasons why I like week 17 instead of them spreading it out over one on Thursday, then, you know, and then there's only one Sunday night football game. So you get all the games this week, and then we can find out, you know, how certain players and on certain teams are where they're going to be. I'm really interested in the Oakland game, and I say this really interestingly enough.
Why?
Because
why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because there's some talent on the Oakland Raiders, and I say some because there's not a lot. And I want to see how many of those, and I'm actually going to take, the roster at the end of the year for the Oakland Raiders, and I'm going to find out how many of them actually are going to be in the NFL next year. And then, of course, you have San Diego on the other side, whether or not North Turner's going to keep his job and what ends up happening there. So, you know, there's a lot, at least for me, a lot of intrigue for that game.
Well, like I said before, and we've all talked about this, North Turner, he has to have made a deal with the devil or somebody because there's no way he should still be in that job.
Yeah, and if you remember last year, Big Dog, I think we were saying the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And I think, if I'm not even mistaken, we might have even said that about the year before. After a bad performance, it's like a broken record here. You know, it's skipping back to the same thing. We're saying the same thing, like you said. You know, the deal with the devil or the video with the animal. I don't know, but whatever he's got, he sure has a stranglehold on that position over there.
Well, you know, they are close to TJ. Maybe he took Roger Goodell over the border and took him to a donkey show or something, and got those incriminating pictures.
Yep. Exactly. So you just never know what's – but I find it amazing that he's kept that job there in San Diego for so long. I really do. But you know, that might be something else because aren't they moving? Are they going to move into that new stadium?
No. There's still no talk about them moving over to Petco. Petco, I think, is just a baseball park. It's not built for football, so there's still going to be a Qualcomm for a while.
No, I'm talking about that one in L.A. I mean, the talk about the move weren't they in consideration for that L.A. Stadium move?
There was talk about it, but I don't think the Chargers are going to be coming up. Chargers, I think, are going to stay down there.
Got it.
You know, who knows?
The only thing I
get up here.
Yeah, I mean, when's that stadium going to be done? Not in time for next year, but the year after that, right?
No, they haven't even broken ground yet. And once they break ground, let's just say through some miracle they're able to break ground early in the first quarter of 2013. The stadium won't be ready. The stadium won't be ready till maybe 2015 or 2016.
Oh, geez.
Well,
okay, forget it.
Well, gentlemen,
that blows my theory out the window.
No, but gentlemen, hold on a minute. First of all, they're not going to break ground until they have a commitment from a team
exactly.
or two teams. And there's no commitment yet. That's where we are. Because if I'm not mistaken, you know, much to my chagrin or my shock, they finally did get everything up and out of the way. And speaking of getting everything up and out of the way and getting home in time, I got to tell you, why did you do that?
Who?
Sonny Clark, why did you do that?
Why did I do what?
Why did you say Cuervo?
Because it sounds like exactly like what Cuervo, getting home in time and things like that, being ready for the show.
You didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, he is in the house. Yes, the glorious one himself, Cuervo, defends our nation in ways that we just don't need to know about, but he does. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, our hero's in the house. One of the greatest, best intros for anyone ever. I love it. Couch potato, I hate you. I got to get that one.
Yep, and I pat myself on the back every single time.
Yes. Good morning, Cuervo.
Buenos dias, caballeros. How are you?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Big Dog laughed and I went silent. What's wrong with that, Big Dog?
Oh, that's funny. How are you doing, Cuervo?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Oh, not bad. Are you freezing over in Chicago?
Yeah, it's pretty cold, and it's only going to get colder, so I'm looking forward to it. Fun times. the good thing, though, there is very, I mean, there's snow on the ground. However, right now, at this moment, it's not snowing. So that's a good.
Well, Cuervo, I think your timing is impeccable. I want to thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget, we wake you up, and then the couch potato, along with Cuervo, always bring it home, ladies and gentlemen. The best four-hour block of sports right here on Blog Talk Radio on Saturday morning. It just doesn't get much better. Cuervo, I don't know if you caught it all, but I think your timing is ever so appropriate. The Laker fan and the hardest working man in sports, we're talking about the San Diego Chargers and on how the guys haven't been fired over there yet. And the big dog surmised that it's because, you know, Craterface took the guy over down south. They went to a donkey show. And I meant to ask Darlene if she knew what the guys were talking about. I don't know what a donkey show is. And
is that the one from that movie, Clerks 2? Kinky Kelly?
Oh, yeah.
Donkey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
is that even real?
Yes, it is. That actually does happen. I've had friends that have actually gone and seen the donkey show, and it is true.
I got to see it myself.
Yeah, okay, I really don't want to go that far. The joke was supposed to go someplace else, but it didn't, and I apologize. Cuervo, my ultimate apologies to America's warrior. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, I've met people that have been a part of that, so I'm just going to leave it.
Oh, my goodness.
I personally have not. However, there are people out there that have done that, so. It's a very, very interesting show. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
wow.
Most definitely. Cuervo, we've actually had the chance to discuss quite a bit. As we all know, Sean Payton, we discussed that. We also discussed Adrian Peterson, and he's 208 yards short. But there is another thing that happened. This is something that Big Dog always likes to talk about. And they were, Big Dog and Couch Potato were talking about the Raiders. And it turns out that it was an expensive Sunday afternoon last week for Cam Newton. We learned on Thursday that he was fined $21,000 by the NFL for abusive conduct toward a game official during their win. But we also found out he was fined an additional $10,000 for kicking Raiders defensive tackle Tommy Kelly. Wow. Dude, in a winning victory, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. In a victory 17-6, you're still nailed for being abusive and kicking other guys. Cuervo, what is wrong with Cam Newton, and are we seeing the end of the phenom?
No, I don't think we're seeing the end of the phenom, guys, and it kind of surprises me, to be honest with you, that Cam Newton would do that, because I personally thought he was a little more mature than that. He definitely sold a lot of people on, you know, being a mature rookie last year. I mean, there were no incidents like that at all. All he did was go out there, play. He broke the passing records, as we know, which now just got broken by Andrew Luck. And, because of the fact that he's having the sophomore slump, now it's like, now he's taking his frustration now because they're having a bad season on other players on other teams. To me, that does show a sign of immaturity. Maybe he, he sold us into thinking something that he's really not.
Big Dog, Ben Couch Potato. I know you're always covering that, Big Dog. Are you surprised? And as Coffee, he took commentary to my saying the end of the phenom. So go ahead, Big Dog.
Well, I'm not surprised with Cam Newton. I mean, it got away from him. I don't think he's everybody loses it every so often. I mean, he went off on the referee. The kick, though, that one did surprise me, the kicking of Tommy Kelly after the play was over. But, no one's going to remember this by next week. I mean, the way the fines are happening and so many fines and the tens of thousands of dollars that are being fined, it's just a regular occurrence now. I mean, I have the fines of the week, and there's a good 12, 15 players that got fined anywhere from $55,000 all the way down to $10,000. So, I mean, I want to know where all this money is going, because the fines are I mean, if people added up the fines this year, I mean, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. I mean,
I told you where it's going. I told you where it was going last week. Conspiracy couch, pay for that lawsuit that they know they're going to lose. And like I said, it's genius. It's genius for them in reality to make the players play for their own lawsuit. It's you know, and that's the reason why Roger Goodell's going to be there. And here's one of the other things that's really interesting about that. You state that the fines are every week, and you know what? It's really interesting who's at the head of that. And everybody, folks, before you think and jump on the Roger Goodell bandwagon on that, Roger Goodell sets the amount, okay? But to find out what is actually finable, Marvin Hanks is in charge of that, and everybody in San Francisco knows him, and I love him too. He has the best celebration ever. Okay, but he is the one that says whether or not a fine should be warranted. He doesn't put the amount on it. That is Roger Goodell. But there's another guy. Don't forget about him. But you know he's been asked to probably take a look at players a little bit more, hits a little bit more with a little more scrutiny, and you know, it's just what it is. It's genius, and I hate to say it, but that's what it is.
Well, as a matter of fact, before I head back on over to Cuervo or even Darlene, Big Dog, let's make sure to get all that in on your finds of the week, ladies and gentlemen. It is that time. We are running out of time, but I know there's going to be a lot of other stuff that we still may want to go over.
Absolutely.
Cuervo gave us a news flash, which I did not see, and I still have the article up, so we'll get to that. But Big Dog, finds of the week, pal. Take us where all the other idiots have gone before.
All right, here we go, guys. Finds of the week. Baltimore Ravens safety Ed Reed was fined $55,000 for his high hit on Victor Cruz last weekend. Reed stuck the wide receiver in the head and neck area and was penalized for the hit in the game. He also has a one-game suspension. Of course, he had his helmet-to-helmet fine reduced last month to $50,000, so this is starting to become a regular occurrence for him. Also, Ravens offensive tackle Michael Orr, of course, we all know who he is from the movie, was fined $10,000 for a chop block against the Giants. Also, Carolina quarterback, as we said, Cam Newton, fined $21,000 for abusive conduct toward a game official, and another $10,000 for kicking Oakland's Tommy Keller. Panthers defensive end Greg Hardy was fined $25,000 for striking Oakland quarterback Carson Palmer in the back of his helmet. Palmer suffered cracked ribs and a bruised lung on the play and will not play, of course, in the finale tomorrow. Carolina safety Charles Godfrey was fined $21,000 for striking a defensive player in the head and neck area. New England's Vince Wilfork was docked $30,000 for hitting Jacksonville's offensive lineman Steve Vallos in the head and forearm with his forearm on a play in which possession changed. Also, Tennessee defensive tackle Sean Derrick Marks was fined $7,875 for a face mask against Green Bay. Houston quarterback Kareem Jackson was fined $21,000 for unnecessary roughness against Minnesota. Safety Daniel Manning was fined $10,000 for grabbing an opponent's face mask. Minnesota offensive tackle Matt Colley was fined $10,000 for striking an opponent late against Houston. And San Francisco's Anthony Davis was fined $10,000 for a late hit on Seattle quarterback Jeremy Lane. And those are the finds of the week.
Big Dog, I want to thank you for that. And, guys, I thought there was a penalty for face mask. I thought it was a personal foul, 15 yards. When did the frickin' penalty come into play on that one? Oh, and by the way, we do hear you, Mark. I hope you're having a good time listening to us talk sports, Mark. I can hear it clearly. Want to welcome to Almighty Sports Show, Coffee 77, Laker fan Matt Alvarez, Senior Cuervo, Tarvino, and the Couch Potato in the chat room. Go ahead, Big Dog, before I go back to Cuervo.
No, I was just going to say, this year they've really been fighting for the face mask. Any face mask that they deem that's excessive gets the penalty. So I'm not saying that every single face mask call gets stay fine, but the excessive ones do.
Okay. Well, there you go. Big Dog made it very clear. But, guys, I thought we already had that in place. That was the 5-yard face mask and the 15-yard face mask. Go ahead, Corvo. Tell me, should they be finding them on the face mask?
Fine, on hits to the face?
No, where they actually grab the face mask, you know, and there's two penalties. There's the unintentional and the intentional. Should they be fining them for getting, you know, as Big Dog says, too aggressive with the face mask?
Well, I think that depends on how aggressive they get. If you actually grab the face mask and you close your hand, you intend to close your hand and turn that helmet in a different direction, hell yeah, you should be fine, because you're risking big time injuries to players. If you just kind of palm your hand onto the face mask, I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, that's pretty much a stiff arm, in my opinion. But if you actually intend to grab that face mask and twist, I don't think it should be no $50,000 fine. I think maybe $10,000, something like that, if I'm the assistant principal, that is.
Now, Sonny, I'm getting some flack in the chat room that apparently the 5-yard penalty is gone. Everyone is telling me, no, it's gone, and that they're all 15 yards now. I thought the 5-yard was an unintentional face mask. Grab,
yes.
I thought that rule was still in effect.
Yeah, it is. Here's the thing. A conspiracy couch again, okay? They're almost going to call a 15-yarder every single time. Why? Because they want to put them in a position to be able to find them, okay? If you have unintentional face masks, like your hand gets caught in the face mask during the play, they pretty much have taken it's not off the books, but as far as off the records, you know, maybe so. Because I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen one of those face masks called this year. I'm telling you right now, every fine and everything that they're doing, you look at the fines this year compared to last year, they're up at least 60 to 65%. So when you see that there's a trend, that means there's been something put in place to be able to have that kind of change. With that being said, that goes back to the same exact thing that what's going on there. I'm the only one hollering this, okay? I don't think I've ever heard anybody on any level, whether it be on the national level or on the lower level, saying this. But I'm telling you right now, there's a directive right now as far as the referees and stuff like that are concerned. There is a directive to call flags so they can put into play and give them the opportunity to find the players.
Wow. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to start reminding people that we are near the end of our first 2-hour block. We're down to a few minutes. We're going to be joining the Couch Potato almost immediately. We're going to do the transition, Sonny, just for the intros, and then we're going to go on over to your program immediately. That
okay.
way we won't stay too far on. But I do want to welcome the shock of shocks. I think I already mentioned Almighty Sports Show is in the chat room, but oh, my God, Saul Walters is in the chat room. Oh, my God.
Saul!
It is the end of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait a minute. No, the end of the world passed. Maybe that's why he's here. The hoarder, the prepper, he is back. Wow. Got to tell you, life is good. So, Saul, let us know how your team is doing. The Tennessee Titans. I think they suck, but anyway.
That's probably why he hasn't been online.
Final thought on the Cam Newton penalty. Apparently, he did bump the coach. I'm sorry, the referee, Jerome Boger. But he apologized to him, and Boger didn't send him out because even he said, nah, it wasn't malicious. It wasn't intentional. So I thought that was interesting that was comment on. I want to welcome all of the guests in the chat room. Big Dog, I don't know if you wanted to mention this now about Jamal Wilkes, number 52, L.A. Lakers.
Yes, he had his number retired last night at halftime. He is now on the Lakers Wall of Fame. I actually wasn't going to mention it because then I was going to have to go on a rant. So now that you mentioned it, I have to go on my rant. I think And you know me, I just by my moniker, the Lakers fan, I think what the Lakers are doing is bullshit. There are players that are not going to make the Hall of Fame that belong up on that wall. Michael Cooper being one of them. Kurt Rambis being another. That got them their five championships in the 80s. Those guys and a couple others, maybe Norm Nixon belongs up there also, as he got them two titles early on in the 80s. But the Lakers have a rule.
Oh, my
that,
God, what is that?
With what?
The Thunder.
The Thunder, okay. Don't know.
Oh, my God. This is a big accident right here where I live at. It sounds like a big earthquake. I'm sorry, you guys.
I hope everybody's okay. No
I
problem.
So. It sounds like a thunder or a building just collapsed.
It's probably thunder because it's supposed to be raining by you today, so it probably is thunder. Anyway, back to my rant, guys. The Lakers have a rule that they will not retire a number and put it up on the Wall of Fame unless you make the NBA's Hall of Fame. And as I said, Michael Cooper, great as he was, is not going to make the Hall of Fame. Kurt Rambis, the hardworking, you know, lunch bucket guy that he was during the whole 80s, is not going to make the Hall of Fame. But those two guys definitely
belong
on that wall.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hang up. It was, oh, my God.
Thunder.
A lightning just hit out a car outside. And it exploded. Oh,
what?
My God.
The car exploded, Darlene?
There's a thunder lightning that exploded a car outside. That's the big bang right now.
Wow. All right.
Oh, my God. I have to hang up, you guys. This got serious right here.
Okay. I'll talk to you later, Darlene. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, obviously you just heard breaking news right now here in downtown Los Angeles, where Darlene is located. Apparently there's been a lightning strike, and that's why she jumped. The car right outside her house, where she's at, exploded due to a lightning strike. Wow, that's pretty big. We'll see if we can get some pictures in a little bit. I'm going to bring the couch potato on with us, and I hope everything is okay with them. And we're going to be making the transition.
Until showtime.
And there it is, 2 minutes, Sonny Clark. Thanks for joining us again. You heard what Big Dog was saying about the Lakers and their Hall of Fame stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They will not put anyone on the wall unless they're in the actual Hall of Fame. Unbelievable, don't you think?
Oh, I think so too. Because the names that he mentioned are one, but one that I think obviously should be there is Michael Cooper. This is a guy who really, you know, kind of, you know, installed that number two guard that was very much needed, you know, sort of like the, you know, the right hand man to Magic Johnson. I think more so than Kareem, because you have to take a look at the way basketballs play. There are certain positions that complement each other, but when you got a Magic Johnson and a Michael Cooper on the same
1 minute until showtime.
One of them gets overlooked, and obviously it was a Michael Cooper in reality. And Michael Cooper was a great basketball player.
Yeah, no doubt about that, ladies and gentlemen. I want to leave us with that last thought right now. I'm sure we still have a little bit of sport to go over. I want to thank everyone that's listening to us live. We are going to be transitioning over to the Couch Potato program. We are down to about 30 minutes. Of course, we want to thank everyone that called in this morning and spend time with us in the chat room. And for those of you that are listening live, or I should say in the archive, we want to thank you as well. We are incredibly pleased with the numbers, and we want to thank Blog Talk Radio for finally making us a featured channel here on Blog Talk Radio. It's been a lot of fun.
By the way, Coffee was right.
About what?
About the 5-yard incidental face mask penalty. He was correct.
Well, hold that down.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds.
We'll talk
4,
about it here on the other side.
3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
good morning, everybody. Think you can tell us what to wear? It's Saturday morning. You think that you're better? Then you better get ready. Welcome into the show, everyone. Bow to the masses. Break it down. It is the Saturday morning edition of the Couch Potato Sports Show. John Boss on radio. I am Sonny Martin, hardest working man in sports radio, coming to you live here on a Saturday morning. Welcome into the chat room, Tarvino, and all those that will transition over into the Couch Potato Sports Show. And Coffee was correct. I wanted to put it out there to where he at least heard it on that show. They did do away with the five yard incidental face mask penalty, just to let you know, and that was back in 2000 in the 2008 season. So I didn't necessarily know that. So I will go and just correct and make sure that he knew that. So.
Wow. Sounds good.
Yep.
Appreciate that. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're on with the Sports Talk with the Guys as we took the hand off from Sports Talk with the Guys. And good show, gentlemen, by the way. I got in a little late, but enjoyed it very much for an hour and 15 minutes. But good stuff. But I know you had some other stuff that you needed to go through, so you want to run through that?
Well, I'm going to throw it off to the big dog right now for that, because I have a little bit of baseball news. So why don't you go ahead, big dog?
Really, the only thing I really had left was the Michael Vick unwilling to renegotiate his contract. Were you surprised by that one, Sonny?
No, I'm not surprised by any stretch. And I'll say this, and the reason why is that he's got the Jets foaming at the mouth to grab him, so why take a pay cut? You know, it's a great – hey, it's after this season, after this debacle of a season for the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, it's all about business. And putting it in a business standard, that's probably – it's probably the right thing to do for him.
Yeah, I totally agree. Looks like he's due $15.5 million next season. Likely, I'm not sure how much of that is guaranteed, but most likely there's going to be some sort of buyout, because you're right, the Eagles aren't going to pay that this year, and you're right, the Jets are foaming at the mouth for him. So I agree,
yep,
too. I mean, I wouldn't renegotiate either. I mean, you know that the Philadelphia Eagles don't want to keep him, so why negotiate? Why make it easier for them if you already know you're going to have a job somewhere else? So. And like I said, I don't begrudge any player. You get what you can when you can, because who knows when it can be taken away. Michael Vick, you got to take it away once. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. You look at Michael Vick, if he renegotiates that contract, okay, what's going to happen if the Jets grab him up? They're obligated to that money. But here's the good thing for him as far as business is concerned. He's not going anywhere. They're going to let him cut him. They're going to let him go. And then that $15 million is still a number that will be addressed by the Jets. And then it's all about the guaranteed money under the new contract underneath the Jets. I'm telling you right now, Michael Vick's going to be a Jet. And the reason being is they need to make sure they keep butts in the seats for the other I think it's nine games, yeah, or I'm sorry, eight games, the other eight games at home when the Giants aren't in there. They still need to keep butts in the seat. And I'm going to tell you right now, you put Michael Vick in the New York Jet uniform, not only will they sell the jerseys, they'll fill the seats as well.
That's true. And what do you think, well, as we all figured, Tebow's gone. Do you think they'll keep Mark Sanchez because of that big contract that they can't get rid of? Or
no, he's gone.
Is he the backup to Vick? You think he's gone also?
Yeah. No, you know, there's no need, because Sanchez is going to start for a football team next year. I'm guaranteeing you that right now. There are some teams that are so bad at quarterback, someone will take a chance on Mark Sanchez and maybe treat him like he's out of fifth grade, because if you take a look at that whole situation as far as the Jets are concerned, they never gave this guy any kind of, you know, way of going out on his own. They always kept him back, and I believe that honestly. I mean, we've seen that after the second year, after he took him to the AFC Championship game. You would think they would give this guy a little bit of latitude in order to do what he thinks is best. They never did give it to him. They never gave him the option to check down and go to a different play. And that has to do with Rex Ryan more so than anything, thinking that he knows offense, which he doesn't, and that's one of the problems with him as a head coach. But take away from that, there are teams out there that will take a chance on Michael or on Sanchez. I can think of four of them right now that would jump at the opportunity to have a guy who, as a rookie and a sophomore, took his team to the AFC Championship game and give him some reign and give him some power at the quarterback position to see what kind of guy he could be.
Yep. I agree with everything you just said.
Exactly. All those teams that Almighty has put into the chat room are definitely teams that could use a Sanchez, and I wouldn't be surprised if any of them went after him, although the Jags are talking about Tim Tebow. But wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah.
Bringing Sanchez and Tim Tebow down to the Jags, that'd be a crack up.
Oh, sorry about that, Coach. Yeah, you're right.
No, that's okay.
You know, but as I said, you know, Tim Tebow, I just see him as a backup quarterback. I don't see him as a starter. I never did. And, you know, this year I know it's been tough for him. I thought it was the wrong move to bring him into the Jets because, you know, Sanchez was going to be looking over his shoulder the entire time. And sure enough, I mean, it was just a bad idea from the get-go.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. I'll tell you right now, the NFL is definitely a marquee league without question. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I hate to admit it, and I was thinking it. I'd never said it publicly before, but I had been thinking it. You think of quarterbacks like a Doug Flutie. What would be great for this guy is that, and he'd give a hell of a contract if he signed in Canada. And not only that, he'd bring butts to the seats in Canada. I think he'd be a superstar in Canada. The problem is, in the NFL, they don't have room for his type of quarterback. And I'm not saying that he's not a good quarterback. Everybody says, you know, Couch, you're all over Tim Tebow. You don't think he's a good quarterback. That's not necessarily the point. The point is that you got to put a quarterback in with what he does best. And what he does best is what he did last year. If you see what he did in Denver, NFL teams don't run that kind of offense, okay? If they did, we'd see it more often. The fact of the matter is the NFL is a passing league, and the NFL is primed for a drop-back quarterback, not one that scrambles. You go up to Canada, 80% of the quarterbacks in Canada are Tim Tebow. That's the reason why I think he could actually go up there and make some big noise up there in Canada. The problem is that NFL teams are going to take a shot at him. He's going to make more money probably in the NFL because of the marquee of his name. And you don't think that it's not about marketing. Marketing your name is a big thing in the NFL. And the fact of the matter is if he'd be willing to take a pay cut to be a starter, he would start every single game up in Canada.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and you know, and most likely, it's what it comes down to is money. You know, does he want to play, or does he want the money? And you're right. I mean, the NFL, he's going to make a lot more money here, especially with merchandising. You know, everybody wants that Tim Tebow jersey and stuff, and you can make you know more money off of merchandising than you can actually sometimes as a player. So you're right, though. I mean, you're absolutely right. I think if he were to go to Canada, he would have probably one of the best careers as a quarterback that anybody's ever had up there because, I mean, it fitted perfectly for him up there. But,
and not
you know,
only that, he might bring the Canadian game down here for someone to watch in reality. I mean, you put a Tim Tebow in a uniform in Canada, someone in the States are going to watch.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know how many Saskatchewan jerseys or Saskatoon jerseys you're going to see down here, but
You know, if they made it in fat ass size, I'd probably wear one. I mean, because they got some cool jerseys, you know. But they don't, and that's PH Pat. Oh, I'm not sure where Cuervo is. Is Cuervo still in your guys' chat room over there?
No.
No.
All right, he bailed. So now I know you guys wanted to end your show over there, but anything else before you guys did that, before we take it all the way over?
Well, I have two bits of news, but I figured that we can go ahead and just, like I said, we can go ahead and do it right on over there, Sonny. So if you give us about a minute.
Absolutely. We'll take on over. You want me to go ahead and put you on mute then?
Yeah, why don't you do that, and then we'll finish up what we're going to do over here.
You got
muted.
It. We got you on mute as of now. We'll see you guys up on the other side. That is Sports.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, that is the Cats Potato Sports Program. We are Sports Talk with the Guys. Big Dog, it's been a great Saturday morning. I don't know about you, but I'm heading over to the Cats Potato right now.
Yep, so am I. I'm already in the chat room, and I just want to wish everybody a Happy New Year. Be safe. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Get a designated driver or call a taxi or a bus. There's lots of stuff out there, so just be careful if you go out and partake in the festivities.
All right. Well, there it is. Big Dog, thank you. Happy New Year to everyone, and we'll see you guys on the other side. Thanks, Big Dog. See you in a moment.
See you in a moment.
Peace.